Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome to Food for the Journey and welcome to this Holy Week. We call it a Holy Week because it is set aside. Holiness means to be set aside for God. And we ask that during this week, especially, that we may be drawn closer and closer to God Himself. It is a holy week, yes, because it depicts the major episodes in the life of Jesus where he suffered and died for our sins. So it is holy. It is a week set apart. It is a week to give thanksgiving to God for what he has done for us, to thank him every day, thank him many times a day for what he has done for us, that he makes heaven possible for us, that he makes it possible for us that we will live forever. Not in the way in which we're living this life, but in total peace and total joy, total union with God himself. What more could we ever ask for? What more could we ever want? The deepest desires of our heart are such that nothing human can satisfy them. Nothing. We were made for God. Yes, there are many joys in this life, many blessings in this life, but the only completeness in life without end, completeness that doesn't have any imperfection in it, completeness of union with God himself, that's why we're living this life, and that's why this week is set apart, both to say thank you, with great gratitude for what God has done, but also to ask God, by your grace, Lord, conform me more to your image and likeness. May I reflect you more in this coming year than I do now. And then be specific about it. Look at an area of your life and say, God, by your grace and by your power, I want to change this. Sometimes I've made decisions like that that have lasted the entire year. In other words, from Holy Week of 1 year to Holy Week of the next year, I've worked on that particular area. Probably not every day. If I had, it might have happened faster, but very frequently, every week, I would stop and ponder what it was that was the obstacle to knowing more of the love of God and to allowing that love flow through me. You ask God, he'll do it for you. You'll be a lot happier. I guarantee that. The first reading today is taken from the prophet Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 9. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. Quite a depiction of what the Lord Jesus himself experienced. The prophet Isaiah continues, the Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let him confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? The more, brothers and sisters, the more we identify with Christ, the more we identify with God. As the prophet Isaiah was prophesying about the coming of the Messiah and saying what the Messiah would be like and what he would do, you and I who live post-incarnation, post-crucifixion, post-resurrection, yet all the graces from there are available. They're available to you all the time. You know, people would say, oh, it's so lucky if you lived in the time of Jesus and you could really see him and talk to him. You had to exercise faith. Here was what looked like a human being in front of you. Didn't you have to exercise faith? Wouldn't someone have to exercise faith to say, I believe, help my unbelief? Took faith because he was like us in all things but sin. He was a human being like us. The prophet says, let him confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? He knows the one to whom he belongs. And even if hardship awaits him, he has confidence that God himself will be his help. We can have that same confidence if we choose to follow him. Psalm 69, Lord, in your great love, answer me. Lord, in your great love, answer me. Draw me to yourself. Help me to overcome a pattern of sin. Help me to turn away from bitterness and anger, from hatred, from desire for revenge. Help me. Free me. Lord, in your great love, answer me. For your sake, I bear insult and shame covers my face. I have become an outcast to my brothers, a stranger to my mother's sons, because zeal for your house consumes me. That's how it was for Jesus. He was consumed by zeal for the house of his Father, and he would endure anything to see that his Father's house was available to so many of us. You know, in a way, brothers and sisters, this is very personal. What God did for the world, what God did for every human being, those who accept, those who thank him, those who seek to follow him, are privileged. It's open to absolutely everyone. But what a privilege it is to call him Lord. What a privilege it is to desire to follow him. Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 to 25. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? Do you see, this is one of the 12 chosen. And what happened in his life was his own greed was greater than his love for God, greater than his desire to follow the Master. And that can work in our hearts, brothers and sisters. Strong, strong longings or yearnings that are opposed to God. And we too can turn away. And so Judas goes to the chief priest and says, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? It's greed, possession, power. He was consumed by it. He could no longer see clearly. They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples. The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. So that means going into the city, look for this man, and when you see him, just make this statement. Well, it took a little bit of courage for the disciples to do that. They didn't know what it all meant, but they were obedient to the Lord. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, surely it is not I, Lord. So they're awed, they're frightened, they're challenged. What do you mean? What do you mean? someone of us. Us 12 here, somebody's going to betray you. Can imagine the suspicion. You can imagine the battle. You can imagine the furtive glances looking around at one another. And deeply disturbed and distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." I wonder if Judas said it or if Judas was just quiet. He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me." So they were sharing out of a common plate of food. Anyone who's dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born. And then, and this is the part that frightens me, then Judas, his betrayer, the one who had been in close fellowship with him and was his betrayer, looks at Jesus, look at this, and says, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi. Couldn't be me." And he knows full well he's the one. Look at that smugness. Look at that taunting almost of Jesus. "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." And he answered, "You have said so." What an awful moment. And in that whole time there, during that meal, Judas had an opportunity to repent and did not. What about ourselves? What do we do when our sin is obvious, even if it's only to ourselves, but we acknowledge, yes, I've sinned. What do you do about it? Do you try to hide from God? Do you put on a kind of bravado appearance and say, "Oh, well, it's not so bad"? Or do you say, "Lord, I have sinned. I have fallen short of the glory of God. Will you please forgive me?" And how quickly he forgives. He knows that we are weak. But I think, what if Judas, right here, what if Judas had said, Lord, please forgive me. I have betrayed you. And I've betrayed you for 30 pieces of silver. The whole story would be very different. And how much Jesus prayed for him. Yet every one of us has free will, brothers and sisters. Every one of us has free will. We can turn from the grace of God. We can turn from the prayers on our behalf by God Himself. We have a free will. We're never coerced. So if there's any sin in your own heart that's not been repented for, please today, ask him to forgive you that you may walk in the light. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD from Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.